Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the AeroTech Corporation third quarter 2017 earnings results call. All lines have been placed in a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for live questions at the end of today's presentation. If you should require assistance throughout the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad to reach a live operator. At this time, it is my pleasure to turn the floor over to Yaakov Haroz. Sir, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Jen. I would like to welcome everyone to AeroTech's third quarter 2017 earnings call. Hosting the call today are Dean Crotty, our Executive Vice President and Acting CEO, and Tom Popp, our Chief Financial Officer. Before I turn the call over to Dean and Tom, I'd like to remind everyone that this conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future performance of the company. These statements are only predictions, and there can be no assurance that they will in fact occur. AeroTech does not assume any obligation to update that information. Actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing market trends, reduced demand, and the competitive nature of AeroTech's industry, as well as other risks identified in the documents filed by the company with the Securities and Exchange Commission. In addition, certain non-GAAP financial measures will be discussed during this call. These non-GAAP measures are used by management to make strategic decisions, forecast future results, and evaluate the company's current performance. Management believes the presentation of these non-GAAP financial measures is useful to investors' understanding and assessment of the company's ongoing core operations and prospect for the future. Unless it is otherwise stated, it should be assumed that any financials discussed in this conference call will be provided on a non-GAAP basis. Full reconciliations of non-GAAP to GAAP financial measures are included in the earnings release. And with that, I'd like to now introduce AeroTech's Acting CEO, Dean Crotty. Dean, the call is yours.
Thank you, Yaakov. Good morning, everyone. For the third quarter of 2017, AeroTech reported $25.9 million in revenues and $2.3 million in adjusted EBITDA. These results reflect an improvement over each of the first two quarters of 2017, as our revenues and earnings increased in the third quarter as expected. Our training and simulation division achieved $14.6 million in third quarter revenue, while our power systems division delivered $11.3 million in revenue in the third quarter. As highlighted in our press release, our backlog is improving as we continue to win important new contracts in both of our divisions. Our power systems division continues to execute on its distributed power control and monitoring system efforts with SAIC and is now on contract for low-rate initial production efforts for the next 18 amphibious assault vehicle electrical system upgrades for the U.S. Marine Corps. We expect the LRIP effort to add 30 more vehicle upgrades and continue through calendar year 2018, leading to full-rate production beginning in the summer of 2019. Our power systems division in the U.S. continues to make progress on the MEPS hybrid power development for the U.S. Marine Corps. We delivered four units to the Marine Corps in the third quarter and plan to complete the remaining four systems in the fourth quarter. This development is taking more time and effort than previously anticipated and has required additional investment, which continues to weigh on earnings. We continue to believe, however, that the market for these hybrid power systems will justify the effort and the investment we are making. Our goal in this effort is to be able to serve the hybrid power needs of deployed military personnel over a wide range of power load levels. The smaller expeditionary hybrid power solution we developed for the Marine Corps prior to MEPS, our green system, brought new orders in the third quarter totaling $3.7 million. These systems will be used to support surveillance equipment for the U.S. Army and represents a new customer for our greens product. AeroTech's power systems division in Israel continues to hold the dominant market position for water-activated life vest lights and is now receiving orders for its newly certified LED-based product. We are quickly scaling production at our electric fuel subsidiary to fill orders for the new design. Also in Israel, we have ramped up production of the MR2790 battery that gained customer certification in Q2 and have now delivered nearly 17,000 batteries against a 60,000-piece order. Turning to our training and simulation division, the third quarter provided expected revenue gains as we increased our activity on phase one of our virtual clearance training system follow-on and the recently awarded Army National Guard Operator Driving Simulator contracts. The Guard program continues our long-term support of the National Guard Bureau's light, medium, and heavy truck and MRAP vehicle driver training programs. Our Mylar Range Group continues to improve on what is a record sales year in 2017, having already surpassed the previous high water mark set last year. Third quarter bookings were very strong and represented broad-based support for our use of force and judgment skills products from 132 third quarter customers. Third quarter awards were highlighted by $1.7 million in new orders from the Department of State IDIQ contract that FAC holds. In addition, that same contract vehicle was used to procure police pursuit driving simulators, resulting in $2.7 million in new orders for our commercial vehicle simulation group. Our air warfare simulation group continued to see very strong demand for our weapon simulation-based products in Q3 and added a $5.8 million contract for its onboard weapon queuing software. This adds to a strong backlog for these products that will continue to support our growth efforts. We believe that our third quarter revenue improvement will continue into the fourth quarter to bring 2017 annual revenue results to within our previously provided guidance and now narrow our guidance to $95 to $100 million in revenue. Due to the disappointing earnings from our U.S. Power Division, we have narrowed and lowered our earnings forecast to an EBITDA range of $7 to $7.5 million. Before I turn the call over to Tom for a detailed review of our financial results, I'd like to remind listeners that our guidance is provided as of today, and we undertake no obligation to update our estimates in the future. With that, I'd like now to turn the call over to Tom. Tom, please go ahead.
Thank you, Dean. As you stated, revenues for the third quarter of 2017 were $25.9 million compared to $24.3 million for the corresponding period in 2016, an increase of 7%. The year-over-year increase was due primarily to a higher revenue of the use of Force Milo in our air warfare simulation product areas. Gross profit for the third quarter of 2017 was $7.3 million, or 28% of revenues, compared to $7.9 million, or 32.4% of revenues for the corresponding period in 2016. Operating expenses from continuing operations were $6.0 million, or 23.1% of revenues in the third quarter of 2017, compared to $6 million or 24.8% of revenues for the corresponding period in 2016. Operating income for the third quarter was $1.3 million compared to an income of $1.8 million for the corresponding period in 2016. AeroTech's net income from continuing operations for the third quarter of 2017 was $788,000 or 3 cents per basic and diluted share compared to a net income of $1.5 million or 6 cents per basic and diluted share for the corresponding period in 2016. Adjusted earnings per share, or adjusted EPS, for the third quarter of 2017 was 6 cents, compared to 10 cents for the corresponding period in 2016. Adjusted earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, or adjusted EBITDA, for the third quarter of 2017 was $2.3 million, compared to $3.1 million for the corresponding period of 2016. We believe that information concerning adjusted EBITDA and adjusted EPS enhances the overall understanding of our current financial performance. AeroTech computes adjusted EBITDA and adjusted EPS, which are non-GAAP financial measures, as disclosed in yesterday's press release. For the year-to-date, through 9 months, revenues were $69.7 million compared to $71.5 million for the corresponding period in 2016, a decrease of 2%. The year-over-year decrease was primarily due to the timing of contract awards in our vehicle simulation product area. Gross profit for the 9 months of 2017 was $19.7 million, or 28.3% of revenues, compared to $22.6 million, or 31.5% of revenues for the prior year. Operating expenses from continuing operations for the first 9 months of 2017 were $18.8 million, or 26.9% of revenues, compared to expenses of $20.6 million, or 28.8% of revenues for the corresponding period in 2016. Operating income for the first 9 months of 2017 was $934,000, compared to operating income of $2 million for the corresponding period in 2016. AeroTech's net loss from continuing operations for the first 9 months of 2017 was $575,000, or 2 cents per basic and diluted share, compared to a net income of $554,000 or 2 cents per basic and diluted share for the corresponding period in 2016. Adjusted earnings per share for the first 9 months of 2017 was 9 cents compared to 16 cents for the corresponding period in 2016. Adjusted earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, or adjusted EBITDA, for the first 9 months of 2017 was $4.4 million compared to $6.3 million for the corresponding period in 2016. Turning to the balance sheet, As of September 30, 2017, AeroTech had $4.7 million in cash and cash equivalents as compared to the end of the year, December 31, 2016, when AeroTech had $7.4 million in cash and cash equivalents. As of September 30, 2017, AeroTech had a total debt of $14.5 million, consisting of $3.1 million in short-term bank debt under our credit facility and $11.4 million in long-term loans. This is compared to December 31, 2016, when AeroTech had a total debt of $13.5 million, consisting of $3 million in short-term bank debt under our credit facility and $10.5 million in long-term loans. The increase in long-term loans was due to the purchase of land and building previously leased by our training and simulation division. AeroTech also had $8.5 million in available unused bank lines of credit with our primary bank as of September 30, 2017, under a $15 million revolving credit facility and a $10 million term loan and $3.1 million in mortgages that are secured by the assets of AeroTech and AeroTech's U.S. subsidiaries. AeroTech had a current ratio, current assets divided by current liabilities, of 2.2, compared with as of December 31, 2016, when that ratio was 2.0. As of December 31, 2016, AeroTech had a net operating loss carryforward for U.S. federal income tax purposes of $46.9 million, which are available to offset future taxable income, if any, expiring in 2021 through 2032. Utilization of U.S. net operating losses is subject to annual limitations due to provisions of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986 and similar state provisions. AeroTech accrued $263,000 in non-cash tax expenses in the third quarter of 2017, reflecting the uncertainty of the deductibility of intangible expenses for federal income tax purposes. AeroTech had a backlog as of September 30, 2017 of $69.5 million. This compares to a backlog of $55 million for the same period last year, and a backlog of $55.4 million as of December 31, 2016. The backlog in the training and simulation division as of 9/30/2017 was $41.5 million versus $22 million as of 9/30/2016. In the power supply division, the backlog was $28 million as of 9/30/2017 versus $33 million for the same time last year. That concludes our prepared remarks. Before we open up the call for Q&A, I'd like to remind all participants that Dean and I are regularly available to the investment community, and throughout the year, we look to participate in relevant conferences and investor events. Operator, you may now open up the call for questions.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad at this time. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad at this time. Please hold while we pull for questions. And our first question comes from Mike Crawford with B. Riley FBR. Mike, state your question.
Thank you. Dean, could you go into a little more detail on the distributed power control and management system opportunity and what it can mean for your business over the next few years?
Sure. We'll use the acronym DPCMS because, as hard as that is to say, it's a little easier. But as I highlighted in Q3, we got as expected the continuing low-rate initial production order for 18 more systems. To follow that, without interruption, will be 30 more systems, again, coming through SAIC and the Marine Corps. We expect to work those 48 systems through all of 18 and into the beginning of 19, and then have pretty much without interruption the beginning of full rate production on those kits. We had talked previously about the kits being about $100,000 a piece. Fortunately, as features have been added, we're actually expecting the low rate initial production kits to come in above $140,000, which will help our revenues over the 18 months of that program. And the Marine Corps just put out sources sought for the full-rate production, and they advertised the full-rate production quantity at 357, which is a little higher than we had originally thought. Once we hit full-rate production, our current expectation is to be putting out about 8 kits per month for a period of 3.5 or 4 years.
Okay, and is there a competitor, or is this yours to just perform on?
I think the Marine Corps is following form for DOD contracting and putting out a sources sought before they can go sole source to SAIC.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Alex Gates. Alex, with Clayton Partners, state your question.
Hey, good morning, guys. Dean, I wonder if you could quantify that additional spend on the MEPS program that you guys have had this year, and maybe comment on, you know, is that responsible for any of the dip in gross margin that you saw in the quarter?
Yeah, thank you, Alex. Indeed, the additional spend on MEPS, as well as our product mix as a whole in our U.S. Power Division, is almost wholly responsible for our dip in margins for the quarter and for the year. As you know, coming out of last year, we had spent about $500,000 more than our contract value on MAPS. And through the course of 17, and including in the third quarter, we now have spent about $1 million additional in 2017 on that program. I think a little bit of history, if you look back to our Greens program, which preceded this program, we at that time did spend almost $1 million of our own money alongside the Marine Corps' money to get that product fielded. I'm not trying to hide the fact that it's taking longer than expected. It absolutely is. But we have delivered now half the systems and are working on the final technical bugs on the final four systems, which are fully built and assembled in our South Carolina plant.
Okay, got it. And maybe you could just expand a little bit on why spending that $1 million is a good investment for the company.
Sure. The Marine Corps has a clear need and has been continually expressing its intent to purchase a large volume of hybrid power solutions to go with their already fielded generator purchase they did over the last 5 years. The current understanding from the Marine Corps is that they're budgeting for the end of 18, $83 million to purchase MEP systems. And, you know, if you go back, I know, Alex, you've been following us for a while. We expected that contract to be coming out at the end of this year, and had it been delivered on time at the beginning of the year, I think the Marine Corps would have been there with that production contract. So it's basically, and you know, we are late. The schedule was the number one risk in our very first meeting with the Marine Corps. It was known to be very aggressive, so it's not totally unexpected. Certainly taking more time than we wish it would have, but we're working very closely with the Marines, and they have not in any way wavered from their commitment to these systems.
Good. And then are you still is there still some competition for that award from another party?
Correct. And when they awarded the development contract, they awarded two of them. The competitor has not delivered a system yet, and to our knowledge, has not scheduled with the Marine Corps any expectation for delivery.
Got it. And just in terms, if we look at your sort of adjusted EBITDA for the quarter, and maybe, you know, look at what the spend has been on MEPS, and look at your backlog, does this give you comfort that sort of the back half of 17 can be repeatable for you guys in 18, and maybe you can grow on that, or are there just too many moving pieces?
No, I think certainly we've grown as expected into the back half. I think you asked me on the last quarter earnings call what is going to drive the back half of 17, and it's primarily our military vehicle work, which in our history has been responsible for revenue rises fairly often. And I think when you look at the two drivers for us, we've got the VCTS contract that continues to accelerate in 18 and then into 19 and 20. And then we have our, you know, for sure, I think the amphibious assault vehicle DPCMS program is going to be growing in 18 and then accelerate even further into 19. So I think those are the two things that will keep us growing. And then the moving parts around that, I think, are less important.
Got it. It's good to hear. All right, that does it for me, and looking forward to see more of the growth in EBITDA and earnings. Thanks a bunch, guys.
Thank you, Alex.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad at this time. And there appears to be no further questions.
Thank you. That concludes our call for today, and I'd like to again express my appreciation for your interest in AeroTech.